Attention sports fans, your favorite sportsbook BetUS.com is back for our 29th year of football action.
With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. We've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest slots, and our live dealers are waiting for you at the table. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS and get into the action. BetUS, where the game begins.
Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome in to a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Carlos Ortiz is filling in for Hickey today. We welcome him aboard for the next 4 hours, and the Pro Football Hall of Famer, that's a new title for him, just getting in over the weekend. DeMarcus Ware is going to stop by 20 minutes from now. I guess I started some problem last night in Baltimore, which I did nothing wrong. All I did was say, I don't think that you're going to have Lamar Jackson get a contract extension this offseason. And then Bob, who lives in the Baltimore area, called in, and I guess he's a staple in Baltimore sports talk, and he was losing his mind saying I was disrespectful to Baltimore. So all the Twittiots, they just go crazy today, and they start to drag me like, I don't care. I agree with everything that I said last night. I wasn't being disrespectful to Baltimore. But when these things happen and we kind of make some news in other areas around the country, we like to go right into the spot and the scene of the crime. So welcome in Jeremy Kahn, who's a good friend of ours and does a great job on The Fan in Baltimore at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, coming up at 4:20 p.m. Pacific as well. And then Chris Trapasso will stop by at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, as he was the guy. And this is why I love Chris. I love Chris for many reasons, but if you listen to this show, you know how much I can't stand the Indianapolis Colts to begin with. And the fact that my producer, Hot Take Hickey, is a Colt sycophant, and all of a sudden he's already putting all of his eggs in the basket after he ignored me for a month when I told him to do this. Now all of a sudden he's putting all the eggs in the basket of Bryce Young. And the thing that I love the most is Chris on his latest mock draft. And if this happens on draft night, I will be the happiest person in the world. Nothing else could happen in my radio career, and I'll be fine with it. If we're at the draft in Kansas City, assuming we're getting sent again by the company, and we find out that the Colts trade up to the number one spot and then don't take Bryce Young, just to see the reaction of Hot Take Hickey and him squirm, because I've already said to him, prepare yourself if they don't get Bryce Young. Like, it's very logical that they could get Bryce Young, but he's in the line of thinking that it's Bryce Young or bust. And I asked him, well, what happens if you draft C.J. Stroud? They all hate it. What happens if they draft Anthony Richardson or Will Levis? He said he would be furious. He would be irate. You know how quickly Hickey spins the entire conversation into Colts positivity with all the propaganda that he spews about the Indianapolis Colts. This is the same guy that he did not want any part of Carson Wentz. And within 30 seconds of him finding out that Carson Wentz got traded to the Indianapolis Colts, he's sending out a video congratulating, at the time, Chris Ballard. So we're going to talk to Chris Trapasso coming up later on in the show, because what he is predicting is that the Colts trade up. Oh, this would be Christmas. This would be Christmas in a few months. That the Colts trade up and they select Anthony Richardson with the number one overall pick. Like, most people believe C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are the two best quarterbacks. If it's Anthony Richardson not only being the first quarterback off the board, but done via trade in the first pick off the board, Chris Trapasso, We will spend an entire day genuflecting to you and celebrating you and also dancing on the grave of Hot Take Hickey. So a whole lot to do today. I got to start off the show, though, with the news that we got today. And we all know that the Jets are interested in Aaron Rodgers. We know that they're going to be interested in Derek Carr. But Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports is reporting that this weekend, the Jets will have a meeting. And I think it was either first reported by Jonathan or NFL Network. I don't know who, but that the Jets are going to be meeting and having their first visit with Derek Carr. And here's the take on this. If you ask me, Zach, should the Jets pursue Rodgers or Carr, and it could only be one, you obviously pursue Aaron Rodgers. He's the much better player. Aaron Rodgers is a top 10 quarterback of all time. He's easily going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He just has to wait those 5 years whenever he retires. I know that it is a little bit disappointing if he only finishes his career with one Super Bowl, but the guy is a tremendous quarterback. Like, these days, he may be a royal pain in the ass, but he is a tremendous quarterback. And if the Jets could get Aaron Rodgers compared to Derek Carr, who's like solid, he's like good. Anytime you think he's about to take a step to be a top 10 quarterback and really plant that flag in the top 10 category in the NFL, he then falls on his face and takes 3 or 4 steps back. And with Rodgers, I don't think it will be a problem handling the New York media. Like, he will do things, he'll say things. The media obviously are going to run with things when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think he'll really care. And also, I don't think the Jet fan is going to care because you have the name of Aaron Rodgers and you know how great of a player he is. But Derek Carr, and there was an article in The Athletic a few years ago where one offensive staff member said that he's very sensitive. Derek Carr and also his brothers dealing with the New York media, I think that could be a dangerous situation because Rodgers gets the benefit of the doubt because of his play on the football field. Derek Carr is so inconsistent where 2 years ago, he showed great leadership and played really well for the Raiders through all those horrible circumstances. And then this year, I know it could be a product of coaching, but he also has to take some of it on the chin. He fell flat on his face and he was a disaster. So here's the tricky part for the Jets. It's not, would you rather prefer Rodgers or Carr? Because you know the answer is Rodgers. It's how long are you willing to wait to potentially hear that Rodgers, A, isn't either getting traded, or B, Rodgers gets traded somewhere else. Because if you wait for the Rodgers domino to fall, you may lose out on Derek Carr. You may lose out on Jimmy Garoppolo. Because if you're a Jet fan, and I doubt they're going to be able to trade up in the draft, just where they're currently at, but you never know, we've seen crazier things happen. You're looking, I think, for a veteran quarterback. And you don't even need a great quarterback. But you got to make the playoffs next year. And if you just had a competent and healthy level of play at the quarterback position last year, and this is coming from a Patriot fan, the Jets easily would have made the playoffs. But Zach Wilson was a disaster. Then Mike White was playing well, and he had to deal with the rib injury. And that probably cost them the postseason. So if you're a Jets fan, you look around, you have the Offensive Rookie of the Year in Garrett Wilson. You have the Defensive Rookie of the Year in Sauce Gardner. You know what Quinnen Williams can do up front, and he could just destroy offensive lines as a great defensive lineman in this league. You're going to have Breece Hall coming off an injury. Elijah Vera Tucker coming off an injury. This is a good Jet roster. Like, this is the best the Jets roster has looked in a long time. Where usually the Jets are synonymous with, hey, every 3 years, they're going to be looking for a new general manager and a new head coach. Now it feels like the Jets are a quarterback away from being in the playoffs. And they almost made the playoffs this year. So I wouldn't go via the draft. And also, 2 years ago, you selected a quarterback second overall. I know different regime. But before that, they did end up selecting Sam Darnold. So when you swing and miss on two quarterbacks in the top five in recent memory, even though Joe Douglas did not draft Sam Darnold, I think you need to now go get an established name. So clearly you rush to Rodgers first, but if Rodgers takes his time, and I don't know, maybe it's only supposed to be a 4-day darkness retreat or whatever this thing is called. If maybe after 4 days, he doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel and maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't ready to make his decision, are you willing to be held hostage by Aaron Rodgers? That's what you have to ask yourself if you're a Jets fan. And if the answer is yes, you have to run the risk that Rodgers doesn't get traded, or he does get traded, but maybe he gets dealt to a team like the Raiders. And then you don't know who's going to be available after that. So if this meeting goes well with Derek Carr, and Derek Carr, who you also hear the Saints are going to be involved as well, says to Joe Douglas, I want to be a New York Jet, you got to make that decision. Because if you tell Derek Carr, oh, we're going to wait and see what happens with Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr's not going to wait for you. Derek Carr is then going to go sign with a team like the Saints or whoever it may be. So then there's a quarterback off the board. You wait for Rodgers. Then if Rodgers goes somewhere else or doesn't get traded, you then have to hope that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be available. And he may have signed already by that point or agreed to terms or have an idea of where he's going to. And the problem with Jimmy G, he's nothing special. He's nothing great, but he wins games. He's something the Jets could use because he is that like kind of game manager. But the biggest flaw with Jimmy G is that the guy is hurt every other year. So that's the big dilemma. If you are a Jet fan, or if you're considering Rodgers, or is it a Carr, is it a Garoppolo, how long are you willing to wait on Aaron Rodgers? And ultimately, I think you're asking for a lot if you're a Jet fan to trade for Rodgers. Like, it's possible, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's likely. So if this meeting goes well with Carr, I think you really don't even have a choice. And you got to figure out, does Aaron want to go there or not? And I think it's pretty damn clear that you're moving towards a divorce with the Packers if you're Rodgers. But you got to get answers. You got to do some behind the scenes work. You know, maybe do some tampering. And you got to figure out, is Rodgers really wanting to go to New York, or is this just all up in the air? And that's not going to be easy to get that answer that quickly out of Aaron Rodgers. So what I'm saying here is this. If someone is interested in you and you look at them and think they could help the Jets in 2023, then I think you make the move. And that's what I predicted the other day, that Jimmy G will be the Jets quarterback. I do think it's more likely that Jimmy G or Derek Carr will be starting for the Jets next year than it will be Aaron Rodgers. Because eventually, patience is going to wear thin, and you can't be caught with waiting for Rodgers. Garoppolo makes a decision. Carr makes a decision. Rodgers doesn't go to you or doesn't get traded. And then it's like, uh-oh, where are we going? Like, Ryan Tannehill? Or Zach Wilson maybe starting again? Or Mike White? Like, those are options, and those are names that if you're a Jet fan, you'd be furious because it would be another great unknown. And you cannot afford to have a great unknown at the quarterback position this year because the Jets are a quarterback away from being a playoff team. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show. You can always hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. When we come on back, we will talk to the newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was an absolute legend with the Dallas Cowboys and wrapped up his career with the Denver Broncos, and also did win a Super Bowl championship, was a part of that Super Bowl 50 roster with the Broncos. The great, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, joins us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
BetUS.com is back for our 28th year of NFL action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the chance to cash in on all your favorite sports. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS, where the game begins.
Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in NFL royalty. He made the Pro Bowl 9 times in his illustrious NFL career. He's a 4-time first-team All-Pro, led the NFL in sacks 2 times, had 138.5 sacks in his career, made the NFL All-2000s Decade Team. I'm almost out of breath reading all these accomplishments. A Super Bowl champion, and now most importantly, you could call him a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and that is the great DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus, first off, congratulations. I would ask you how you're doing, but I think I know the answer to that one.
Well, I'm doing well, and I hope you guys are doing well also, and thank you for inviting me on the show.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. So when you hear DeMarcus Ware, Pro Football Hall of Famer, what comes to mind?
I just think about the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time. I mean, that's what my son told me, and that's what I'm going with. And just a legacy that's not going in vain. To me, you can have all the records you want to until you get that jacket, that Hall of Fame nod. That's when you know that all that sacrifice and everything is going to go into a book, into life that is going to live forever.
So your son called you the GOAT. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, he did. I wasn't thinking about it at all. And he was like, "Dude, you know you're the GOAT." And I'm like, "What?" You know, so but it's really cool to, you know, now, you know, talking to my son about it and talking about football. He plays football as well. He's 12 years old. And you know, it's a legacy of the wares left behind that he can go back and see, and I feel really good about it.
His friends got to be buzzing, right? That's got to be just unbelievable. I'd be like a fat kid in a candy store jumping up and down if my old man made the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, he's been, you know, talking about his friends and all of them play football together. And I've, you know, helped him a little bit with his first year last year playing tackle football. So I hadn't talked to him or seen him yet. He's in school. So, you know, those questions will get asked today.
So here's the multi-million-dollar question. Your son says you're the GOAT. Do you view yourself as the greatest defensive player ever?
You know what? I feel like I'm part of that group that when I played, I looked up to, like, the Michael Strahans or, you know, the Lawrence Taylors, and now you're part of that group. You were mentioned with that group, but now I get to walk into that locker room with that group and say I'm part of a new team of the best guys to ever play.
I know a lot of people have probably reached out since it became official and you had to keep a secret for a little bit, but what have been the messages that have really meant the most to you and the phone calls that have meant the most to you?
A lot of the guys, you know, especially like the guys that I played with, the guys around the league that I didn't play with, a message that I keep hearing is, you know what, dude, you should have made it last year, but, you know, second isn't that bad. Either they're just being funny, but they were congratulating me on that or congratulating me on, you know, being a great teammate and teaching them. And that's what it was about. I like to get those congratulatory things and texts from those guys to let me know how much I meant to them because I was a captain for almost 12 years playing in the NFL, and that's what it was about, me giving so much to those guys, and now they're giving back to me with those kind words.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, here with us. I thought it was so cool how when you found out from Jerry Jones, you were at a loss for words because you got snubbed last year. You should have been in on the first ballot. And just to see the overwhelming emotions just like overtake you in that spot because you had to know this day was eventually coming and that you were one day going to be in the Hall of Fame. But to see those emotions just take over were pretty damn cool.
And that's the thing. You don't know how you're going to act when something's very important to you. And it was very, very important to me. And I knocked on that door, and Jerry Jones was in there with his gold jacket. And I really still didn't understand, like, what are you doing? Because I can go to the Dallas Cowboys facility, and Jerry's there, right? I didn't even know until I looked at, you know, Jim Porter that was there, and he had the Hall of Fame pin on. Just that little small pin, it hit me. When I heard congratulations, that word congratulations come out of Jerry Jones' mouth, and I saw that little gold, that little Hall of Fame pin, and I was like, "Hold on, wait a minute, I need to catch my breath." Like seriously, I couldn't even, you know, it's like my soul left me a little bit because everything that I did, I felt that at that time.
What did they tell you that you were going over to the facility for?
Actually, for a family lifestyle photo shoot. So me and my wife was there, and it was something that was normal. And I was like, yeah, let's just go there and do what we need to do as a family. And all of a sudden, it was all about me on that day. So and that's how it always is. I get tricked and doing something and get surprised.
And there was no thought for a second, like, oh, this is maybe how I'm going to find out if I make the Hall of Fame?
Zero. Wow. And that was a reason why I got that feeling.
Yeah.
and you saw those expressions because it was totally caught off guard. I was like, oh, what's up, Jerry? And I knocked on the door. I'm like, are you dressed? Like, playing around. And I walked in there, and when he said, welcome to the 2023, you know, class, Hall of Fame class, I'm like, say what? He said, congratulations. And I thought, like, what is he congratulating me for? And then I saw those pins on those guys, you know, jackets. And I'm like, holy cow. Hold on. Wait a minute. This is now. Like, gather your thoughts. Don't act too crazy.
That's unbelievable. I was with Rondé Barber the day before the announcement came, but you guys knew for a little bit, so Rondé knew as well. How tough was it to keep it a secret? Because I'm sure you wanted to tell so many people, but you can't let the word get out.
I did. I wanted to tell so many people, but I told myself, hey, enjoy it yourself for a second, because once everyone finds out, it's not about you anymore. It's about everybody that was part of your career, part of your life, that got you to that point. Everything. And I said, at least I can get a little bit of time to cherish that myself before, you know, the floodgates open up.
So I was at the game when they introduced you on the field as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I loved the smile that you had because you knew the Philly fans were going to boo you.
Oh, my God, dude. At first, I knew the Philly fans were going to boo me. And actually, me and Rondé was there. Rondé was like, man, I'm going to get booed the worst because
of NFC Philly title fans. Game.
I'm like, no. I'm going to get booed the worst because they got KC fans here and they got Philadelphia Eagles fans here. And as soon as they said my name, I heard all the boos. It was actually cool. It was funny to me because I'm like, you know what? That's just a good testament that those teams hated you and you played really well in the NFL.
It's kind of like a respect, a badge of honor that if they cheered you, that means they weren't afraid of you, right?
Exactly, man. That is totally true.
Pro Football Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware here with us. So your story is so cool coming from Troy. What does that say about your journey that you were able to go to Troy and not only go on to have a dominant career in the NFL, but now be a Pro Football Hall of Famer from Troy?
Yeah, when they, you know, when people say it's not where you start, it's true. It is that. I mean, I was a 185-pound wide receiver. Slow as all get out. I was looking at some old high school tape, and I'm like, man, dude, you really wasn't that good, but you played with so much heart. And I think that's when I got that opportunity and went to a smaller school, like, you know, with Troy. That was my only scholarship. And I actually hit a growth spurt. I grew like 2 inches. I gained about 50 pounds in 4 years, and that's when the beast came out. So from that point on, I just knew that, you know what, it's really not where you start at. Whatever door opens up, the experiences that you have, you just take advantage of that, just that moment. The next one that comes, you take up that moment, and you never know where you'll end up.
I also know you and OCU Manure are extremely close. Tell the story about how a little trip to detention really changed things and turned things around for you, DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, man. I remember sitting in detention, and OCU was like, hey, you get out with Tracy Rocker at the time. He was a defensive line coach. We'll give you a scholarship. And I'm like, what? Because OC, you know, came from London, moved next door to me, and went to the same high school as I did, and was like a brother to me. So he was already down there at Troy vouching for me and helped me get down there at Troy. And so we was almost like instant roommates when I got down there as a freshman, that showed me the ropes, and I think that's what I needed. And you never know, just handing a hand to a guy that coming to the States and him, you know, doing what he did in the NFL and sort of coming right behind him and having that, you know, a guy that I can look up to, a brother at that time, and then just showing me the ropes.
I don't know if you thought about who's going to present you coming up this summer, but would it be OC, you think?
You know, I don't know, man. I can't even answer that question. It's a lot of things that have changed on who puts a jacket on, who presents you, like all that. So, I know it's a big surprise the way that they're doing new things. So, but OC will be involved. Actually, I called him yesterday. We were talking. I was like, man, I got to come to London and visit you. So I look forward to that.
Your favorite memory, DeMarcus Ware, as a Cowboy is what?
My favorite memory as a Cowboy, I think it's that one memory. And it's getting ready every year for the Super Bowl and being a captain, right? When they call your name and say, DeMarcus Ware, you're the captain of the defense of the team. and we want you to lead us to a Super Bowl. I didn't know that I was going to be that captain. It was earned every year, but it was so fun to lead the guys, have fun every year, the locker room camaraderie, and I get that back. I get that back now this year in a whole different type of locker room, which is so cool with the greatest guys ever.
You winning that Super Bowl, I know it didn't happen in Dallas, but it occurred in Denver all these years later. When you think back about that game, Super Bowl 50, what's the lasting image and memory for you?
The image, the biggest memory that I remember about that game is, you know, all the confetti at the end of the game, everybody hoisting up their Super Bowl trophy. And I told myself, like, I mean, you really was an intricate role in getting everybody to that point. You was a captain, right? That meant the most to me. And I told myself, I said, I'm not going to touch the trophy. I'll touch it later. And I remember walking through the tunnel into the locker room, and the trophy was right there in my locker, all clean. And I'm like, hold on. Who put the trophy in my locker? And it's all quiet in the locker room. I took my pads off. I picked the trophy up, you know, crying and everything else, emotional. And I got a tap on my shoulder. It was Peyton.
Wow.
And Peyton looked at me, and he was like, dude, we did it. Like, we did it. And I looked at him in his eyes, man. We hugged that trophy like a baby in between us, man. It was one of those coolest moments I ever had in my life. But that was that moment to let me know that you've done everything that it took to be the best, but also to cap your career off.
That's unbelievable. Wrap it up with the Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, has been great with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So we talked about your journey from Troy, and we know what you ended up doing in the NFL. How early on did you realize how dominant of a player that you could be in the NFL?
I knew it when I got drafted. Like, it wasn't really just a mentality of, okay, you got this amount of sacks or you're playing a certain way. I remember, you know, getting invited late to the Senior Bowl, getting invited late to the combine, and getting that opportunity each time and being the best I could be each time in each one of those realms. And I got to the NFL, and I said, I'm here. No one's ever going to be able to take this away from you. And my granddad always told me, if you put your head down at the plow and just work, the good things will come. And I did that every single week, every single day, every single game. And I woke up each day from practice, from playing in the games, the hardest I could. And the results are now that you're putting on, and you're in that 2023 class and saying, you know what? You can actually pick your head up now. You can actually stop trying to work for something that, you know, the football life, right? And it's so cool to now see all that sacrifice and just working, really just see that dream come true.
Did it all surprise you when you found out that you were the first Sun Belt player to ever become a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Dude, I'm still like pinching myself right now because they're like, there's 371 guys in the Hall of Fame and over 30,000 guys, 26 to 30,000 guys who have played in the NFL. I'm like, man, that's like 0.8% of guys, first of all, making the NFL, right? And then now being the best to ever do what I did. And I'm still pinching myself and saying, like, dude, do you know what you've done? Like, some people maybe get in and they expect it. I don't expect anything. I work for what I want, right? And knowing that it's going to come eventually because I'm just going to keep either knocking at the door, I'm going to keep chewing at it, and eventually I'll get to where I need to be. And I'm here. So I can't even describe the words still, man, of just how I feel. But I know that I'm appreciative, and I'm really blessed.
Two more before we let you run. Dak Prescott, I just want to get your current Cowboys question in. Where's your belief level that he could bring Jerry another championship one day?
He keeps knocking at the door. I keep seeing that guy, you know, first of all, him getting close in the playoffs and then winning a playoff game. Let him keep knocking. He is the quarterback that can get us to that Super Bowl. It's all about who he's surrounded with also as well. We got to keep surrounding him with, you know, guys that can support him. I know that he can do it. No, I'm excited for the season, especially with Dan Quinn and, you know, the changes that they've made over there. I think it's going to be in McCarthy. I think it's going to be really, really, really good this year. It's going to be an even different result this year.
And do you have a good sense of belief that Sean Payton will be able to turn Russ back into the quarterback that he used to be?
I know he will. He has the blueprint. I played for him. I played against him. And no matter where he was, it was an offensive powerhouse, but a defensive-minded team. I mean, they played with a lot of tenacity. They have that with the Denver Broncos, and I'm really excited to see, you know, what he does with that team and see Russell play. I mean, we used to see Russell in the playoffs every year, and I think we can get back there.
Well, we're really happy for you and your family. Well, once again, congratulations, and enjoy this journey up to the induction day in Canton over the summer. Thanks so much for doing this, DeMarcus.
All right, thank you so much.
Great stuff with the newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in DeMarcus Ware. You can think around the auto parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll take a break. When we come on back, the five quarterbacks that are under the most pressure entering next NFL season. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Aren't they the same player? Where Kirk Cousins, you know he's a good quarterback. Do you ever think that you consistently have the top 10 quarterback in the league? No. Dak Prescott, there's times he looks like a top 10 quarterback. But in a big spot, just like you do with Kirk, you don't trust him. Now, there's moments where Dak looks great. But when the highlight of your career is how you played up against a team that was the worst team to get into the postseason this year, that's a problem.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Oh, I thank you very much. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So I was thinking about this earlier today. Who are the quarterbacks, and if I could only pick five, that are under the most pressure for the next football season? You know, it's weird to say this upcoming football season because we're still a little bit further away from that, and the body is just about to get cold or is starting to get cold. It's still a little bit warm from this past NFL season. And I'll give you my sixth one, and I'll say this full disclosure. If you tell me that he should be in the top five, I can't really argue against it. But Deshaun Watson has to be a quarterback that is under a ton of pressure for this upcoming year. Now, I didn't put him in my top five just because I don't really evaluate what we saw in the final 5-6 games of the season, because he was not good in that last month and a half of the season, but he didn't play football in 2 years. All his own fault. He didn't want to be a Texan, and then we found out everything that was happening off the field, and the Texans were like, yeah, we don't want you. So basically being out of the league for 2 years, I kind of take the last month and a half of the season with a grain of salt, because this guy was on his way to becoming a great quarterback in the league. Like, we saw what he did at Clemson. For whatever the reasons were, in that draft class, it was Trubisky who was the first quarterback off the board. That made no sense. I know at the time no one knew what Mahomes was going to become, but I remember being at that draft in Philadelphia, and when the Bears traded up from 3-2 with the Niners, it was like, they draft Mitch Trubisky? And you're like, what? Now, looking back at it, clearly Mahomes should have been the pick, but I can't really rip him for it. Now, that's their job, just because no one was really saying at the time Mahomes is going to be that stud. Like, I remember actually being at Radio Row that year, and Mahomes, his agent, Lee Steinberg, was like begging shows to put Mahomes on the air. So no one could have thought Mahomes would go on to have this career that he's got off to, which has been unprecedented the first 5 years in the NFL. But that's your job, to find those guys. And the Bears weren't able to find and figure out that Mahomes is the best quarterback in that draft class. But just bare minimum, like at the time, this was in the moment, it was like, how the heck do you draft Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson? So there was always a feeling Deshaun Watson could be great. There's going to be pressure on him next year. But next year is really the year that I look at him starting out as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Because last year, he got thrown in because of the suspension in the last month, month and a half of the season. This is a totally different ballgame when you're starting from week one. And remember, that contract is fully guaranteed. And also, they gave up all the draft picks to do so. So this is, you could define pressure in many ways. Like some people say, Zach, what pressure's on Watson? He has a fully guaranteed contract. But it's pressure to succeed. Because when you give up that many draft picks and you have that contract, you better start making a big difference. Because fair or not, 2 years ago, that team was a playoff team. Now, they made the playoffs not that long ago, and then they had a disastrous season the following year. So, like, you look at the Browns, they were a team that it was 3 seasons ago now? When you factor in this season, then that was a team that was not only in the postseason, but they won a postseason game up against the Pittsburgh Steelers when you go back to that 2020 NFL season. And then they go 8-9, and then this year 7-10. So Watson has to be a difference maker. So I just don't know where his level of play is at or where you view him right now. And I can't really crush him for the final month, month and a half of the season, because if you take football, well, he took it away from himself for 2 years. It's kind of tough to expect a player that quickly in the season to play all that well, or that late in the season to play all that well. So here we go with my five quarterbacks that are under the most pressure entering next NFL season. And at number five, it's actually Aaron Rodgers. I do believe that Rodgers getting traded, I'm operating under putting him at five, that he will have a new home. But if he does not have a new home, and if he doesn't get traded and he stays with the Packers, you missed the playoffs last year. And I know he was injured, but he has no respect for the Detroit Lions. You lost to the Lions twice. Like, he looks at the Lions as their gum on the bottom of his shoe. And all he had to do was beat the Lions to get into the postseason. And the Lions had a remarkable season this past year for Lions standards, and he couldn't do that. So whether it's on a new team, whether it is on his current team, the career is winding down for Aaron Rodgers. And he's still in search of that second Super Bowl, and I'm just wondering, is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, he's an incredible player, don't get me wrong. But if he gets traded to the Raiders, is anyone picking him to win the Super Bowl next year? No. If he gets traded to the Jets, is anyone picking him to win the Super Bowl next year? No. Carlos, you would maybe think about picking him to win the Super Bowl with the Jets or the Raiders?
I mean, I'd like their odds if they got him, but
better than where they were now. But
right, but no, you're not jumping over KC. You're not jumping over Cincinnati. Buffalo, you could give them a little bit of trouble. They did beat them this season, but that's still Buffalo's decision, a division to lose.
But anyone could win one division game. Like, there were years where the Patriots were dominant and they would just go down to Miami and they just could not beat the Miami Dolphins. So division games are tough. I would still pick Buffalo to win that division. But yeah, it does close the gap a little bit. And then you have the Jets and the Dolphins both trying to go for the Buffalo Bills. But
like,
I'd still give the edge to the Bills.
They're making the playoffs undoubtedly with Rodgers.
I can't guarantee. I would think they would make the playoffs. But then yet again, in a very weak NFC this past year, I would have thought, and the Jets have a better roster right now than the Packers, I would have thought the Packers had easily made the playoffs this year, and here we are, they're on the outside looking in. Like, next year, the Bills will make the playoffs, the Bengals will make the playoffs, the Chiefs will make the playoffs. Like, that just rolls right off the tip of the tongue. After that, if Lamar's still there with the Ravens and healthy, I would go with Lamar and the Ravens over the Jets. Trevor Lawrence will win that AFC South. So there's like five teams right there. So you have like two spots. Like, I still think the Chargers I would trust more than a team like the Jets. So, like, they'll have a shot. You know, they'll have an improved chance to make the playoffs, but I'm not expecting anything more than that. Moving on to four, it's actually the guy we were just talking about, Justin Herbert. He had a really good season. Cracked ribs. Everyone hurt on that roster. They got to the playoffs. They needed to make the playoffs this year. But when you're up 27-0, I know everyone's going to point to the coach, but when you're up 27-0 in a playoff game, you just can't blow that lead. So for Herbert, there is pressure on him, even though I think he's going to be a great quarterback, there's pressure on him to win a playoff game up against a legit opponent. Like, if he wins a playoff game, like how Dak won this year up against the Bucs, I know they had Brady, but they were below 500. Or You're like Josh Allen beating the beating the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson at quarterback and barely doing so. I don't think we're going to be sitting here and then just saying, oh, how great of a year the Chargers and Justin Herbert had. They need to win a playoff game next year up against a legit opponent. Then at number three, Dak Prescott. Dak has to get to an NFC title game next year. Because we saw Dak win a playoff game this year against a below 500 team. But then the next week, up against the Niners, who he lost to last year because they couldn't get the ball snapped in the final 14 seconds, that game was winnable. And he had big mistake after big mistake up against the 49ers. Like, that Cowboys defense did their job to get that victory this year, and they were ready to go to the NFC title game, but Dak and the offense were not. In at number two, I think it's Josh Allen. Josh Allen had a lot of turnovers this year. They need to go out there and get more consistent production out of the running back spot so it's not all in the legs of Josh Allen and also his arm. But last year was the first year it was Super Bowl or bust in forever for the Bills. They failed this year. It was disappointing. So next year and this upcoming year, you better find yourself in the Super Bowl. And if you don't, and if you have turnovers, if you play poorly, yeah, no one's going to say, oh, run Josh Allen out of Buffalo. That would be stupid. He's a phenomenal quarterback. But he now has to start to put it together because we've seen teams before look like they're going to have a window for a decade. They don't take advantage, and the next thing you know, it spirals out of control. And then I think the quarterback under the most pressure next year is I've never seen an NFL player just because of bad play, like nothing going on off the field, go from being this highly sought-after commodity to then being one of the biggest jokes in the league and one of the biggest punchlines in the league. But that's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson got embarrassed this year by the Seahawks. Goes to Denver. And he can't connect with any of his teammates. They don't only miss the playoffs. The coach gets fired. And everyone knew like 5-6 weeks in, you know, they lost to Seattle week one, that this was going to be a disaster. So for the Broncos and Russell Wilson next year, and now, oh yeah, by the way, you add in Sean Payton. So no, you can't tell me the coach sucks now. You can't tell me the defense is bad. Russ has to be productive next year. And bare minimum, like they're like the Chargers this year. You have to make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, when you have a Hall of Fame coach and someone who is trending to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, that would be an absolute disaster. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break when we come on back. The latest with Aaron Rodgers. What a report this is by the folks over at Ty Dunn's website. We'll get into this on the other side.